اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Anytime you purchase a product from the store, along with the product, they enclose an instruction manual. That manual tells you some important information about the product. Now, depending on the complexity of the product, the manual will vary in its thickness. So if it's a very simple product, there might just be one sheet explaining how you should use the product, what the purpose of the product is, and how you should troubleshoot the product. And if the product is very complex, like a computer, then you'll get a very thick manual. And the manual will explain many things about the product. Or if it's a car, the manual will be very thick, and it'll explain all of the details concerning the product. So depending on what you purchase, and depending on what the product is used for, the manual that's enclosed will vary. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with a manual for this product, which we call a human body. And that manual is the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning the book, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that this is the book wherein there is no doubt, and it is a هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It is a guide. It's a manual. It explains to you how you should use yourself. It explains to you what the purpose of yourself is, and explains to you how to troubleshoot when a problem arises. Actually, these are the three things that you find in a manual. If you open up the first page of the manual, it says the purpose of the product. This product is designed to provide A, B, and C. So very quickly, they define what the product is supposed to do. So that tells you, although it doesn't tell you much, it tells you this is what you should use the product for, and then in your own mind, you eliminate so many other uses. So you buy something, it's defined for, let's say this is to be used to clean various products, right? You're not going to use it for something else. You're going to use it for cleaning. So in your mind, it becomes very clear right away what the purpose is. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has outlined a purpose for our life. And subhanAllah, it's just as clear. Right? It's equally as clear. And that is that the purpose of this life is to test an individual. The only purpose of this life is to test us. There is no other goal. There is no other reason. We create all of these facades, and we call them life, and we call them reality, but actually the only purpose here is to test us. The goal is not to obtain a degree X. The goal is not to obtain house X. The goal is not to obtain car X. It doesn't make a difference. Those things don't make a difference. The only thing that matters is how you play the game. It's a board game. Now the thing about the board game is that, let's say you're playing Monopoly, the goal is to collect as much money as you can. And the winner in the end is decided by who collects the most money. But actually the way that this game that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set up is created is that actually the winner in the end is not determined by what you collect. But the winner in the end is determined by how it was collected and how it was spent. It's such a unique game. Actually, the only thing is that while you play the game, you don't break the rules. Then you win. Which other game is like that? In every other game, there's a goal at the end. And actually, in this game, it's just how you play. You know how you go around the board and you keep throwing that? You just have to follow the rules. If you follow the rules, in the end, you win. And if you don't follow the rules, no matter how much you amass, in the end, you lose. So actually, the whole thing was how you played the game, not what the result of the game was. And that's exactly the way our life is set up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts everybody in a different situation and then creates a varying spectrum of people and a varying spectrum of challenges to test. Not to give, it's not a gift and it's not a punishment. It's all a test. So some person is given wealth. And that wealth is a test for that person. It's not a special gift for that person. Believe me, the person who has wealth is tested to the extreme. Challenges come upon that person. How does he spend his wealth? How does she spend her wealth? What does she aspire to do with her wealth? What does he aspire to do with his wealth? How did he obtain his wealth? How does she obtain her wealth? So all of that becomes a test for that person. And the person who's poor, you think that that's not a test? They have their own test. Everyone has a test, that's for sure. Now, what test you're in, it's going to vary. Some people are given education, they're tested through their education. Other people are given illiteracy, and they're tested through their illiteracy. But what remains constant is that everyone is tested. So that's the purpose of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala randomly, He created this game called the universe, called life, which is just a universe, and He created it in such a weird way. He created time, and time has two characteristics, which are opposite yet equal. Number one, when you look at time, it goes so slow. Like, for example, it's 6:30 right now, and I have a goal by 7:30 I want to accomplish certain things. And I feel like I can accomplish those things. I feel like every minute counts. In fact, I feel that every second counts. I want to use this next hour maximally. And I feel like I can actually put this hour down on paper. I can actually reflect upon this hour. I can actually gauge this hour. So on the one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes time move, looks like it moves slowly. So you look like you're achieving something. But on the other hand, I think about the fact that, wait a minute, we were here last week for an hour. And then we were here the week before for an hour. And then we were here the week before for an hour. And then all of a sudden it just meshes into this big pool of hours. Now I can't remember anymore, what did I talk about 3 weeks ago? Right? Or wait, did we really meet 3 weeks ago, or was that one of the off weeks? And then that merges into years, and then that merges into decades, and then that merges into a lifetime. And I think, wait a minute, we've been doing this for a very long time. We've been doing this for 5 years now. So what was 1 hour, and what seemed to be like that 1 hour was so important, and I was going to achieve so much, and it meant so much, all of a sudden it becomes 5 years. It just disappears. So on the one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created time so that when you play the game, it seems like it's real. It seems like every single moment means something. But in the end, it's all just a flash. We'll wake up, we'll realize that everything was a dream, and it'll be like a blink. You'll remember life exactly at that. Life. I lived. And that'll be the extent of it. Now on the Day of Judgment, the details of that will come out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will actually take your short life and will spread it across a very large period of time. And so that's why they say that on the Day of Judgment, time will become very, very long. It'll slow down tremendously. Such that very, very short periods of time seem very extensive because the details are being unraveled one by one. So for us, we should recognize that while everything seems so real, actually it's all just, we're just moving around that board game. We're just constantly circling around that board game. Now the question is, who uses their time wisely? That's where the value arises. Not in the game itself, but in what you generate by following the rules of the game. So that becomes the issue. And subhanAllah, our manual tells us about that as well. Number one, it tells us about the purpose of life. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَمَلًا. That's it. Summarized in one sentence. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, to test you. أَيُّكُمْ, which one of you, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَمَلًا. Which one is the best by their deeds? Which one is the best by their deeds? That's the purpose of this life. He who plays the game properly and excels in following the rules of the game, he's the one who succeeds. And he who breaks the rules and who tries to transgress the rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established in this game, he's the one who fails. So the end is not the goal, it's actually the means that we're judged by. Which is the same thing. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Verily, deeds are judged according to their intention. Now, not only are we told of the purpose of life in our manual, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through his blessed tongue also gave us the way by which we should use ourselves. Right? So that's also a very, very enormous blessing bestowed upon us. In that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded us that in this game, remember that there are things that are valuable that you should try to do. So, a daily outline was laid out for us. praying five times a day, as much as possible in the masjid. That's one of the ways by which we maximize on our time in this life. Fasting, obviously, in the month of Ramadan, on Mondays and Thursdays, 3 days a month, at the beginning of the month, at the end of the month, outside of the month of Ramadan. Giving as much as you can in charity, because every dime that you give here is actually a savings for over there. So each of these different methods have been outlined in that book because this is the manual to success. Right? Now when you're reading the manual for a product, it tells you, this is how you need to use this product. If you use this product in this way, then you'll be able to successfully take the benefit from that product. So they'll tell you, in order to use this product, turn this button on, plug this in here, plug that in there, press this button, press that button, and then you'll be able to achieve the goal of what the product was created for. So in the same way, life has its buttons, life has its wires, life has a way by which you can plug yourself into using it wisely and properly so that you can maximally benefit from it. And what is that? That's going to be the salah that we pray, the fasting that we do, the sadaqah that we give. Basically, in summary, it is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you moments. And every single moment is in your control. Now, with that moment, you make a decision. Is that moment spent remembering Allah? Or is that moment spent being heedless of Allah? If it's spent remembering Allah, then it is the most valuable thing you can do with that moment. And if it's spent being heedless of Allah, then it was a moment wasted and you never get it back. Once the moment is wasted, you can never have it back. Now, the rest of the sunnah is just an explanation of that theory. The sunnah then tells you, how do I make each moment golden? Okay, before the sun rises, the way you make the moments golden is to pray the Fajr prayer. While the sun is rising, the way you make the moment golden is to recite the Quran. You can't pray the Fajr prayer at that time because the sun is rising. Right? Then the Prophet ﷺ, moment by moment by moment, outlines every single act that a mu'min should do in order to make that moment into gold. So that it can be purchased by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in exchange for Jannah. So here we are basically building up our currency. That's what life is. Using our time in order to buy a space in Jannah. Now everybody's been given time in this test. The circumstances vary. Somebody has wealth, somebody doesn't have wealth, somebody has health, another person doesn't have health. Right? Somebody has an education, another person doesn't have an education, but nobody ever complains that they don't have time. People can complain that I don't have barakah in my time, I don't know where my time goes, but everybody knows they have time. Part of being human and on this earth implies that we have time. That's what the challenge is then. How do we take every single moment and maximize that moment so that it's done conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And you'll see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's deeds were exactly that. No moment was forsaken. And no moment was taken for granted. The way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dressed himself, conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way he sat, the way he smiled, the way he shook the hand of another, the way he made wudu, the way he spent time with his family. Every single thing was done with a consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is what makes each moment valuable. And so that's the sunnah. The sunnah tells you at every single moment what is the best thing to do. What is the best use of my time at any given moment? And you'll find that in the sunnah. Now, the last thing that you find in a manual is how to troubleshoot. So first few pages of the manual, they say this is the thing, this is what this product was created for, these are the benefits of this product. Then the vast majority of the manual says you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, plug this in, turn this on, press this button. And then everything will work the way it's supposed to work. Then the last section says troubleshooting, right? If there's no light, then press this, check that, okay? And that's the exact same way with us. Now, when an individual lives their life according to this method, which is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then certain lights should turn on. Certain lights should turn on. They should notice a change in their life. They should treat people differently. They should become attached to the life of the hereafter and disconnected from the life of this world. They should see that their excitement, that their pleasure is not derived from what they gain in this world, from the false vanities of this life, but from the imagination of what Allah will provide in the hereafter. When these things, when an individual begins to live their life in this way, then their excitement changes, their desire changes, their aspirations change, everything about them changes, and it becomes noticeable to every single person around them. So that's what the result should be. And then that's what we need to troubleshoot. So the question should be in our minds, okay, if I'm actually on this path, why is it that I'm so connected to the life of this world and I'm so disconnected from the life of the hereafter? Okay, well then you need to go to the troubleshooting part. Okay, troubleshooting will say maybe we're not eating properly. Maybe we're not spending properly. Maybe we're not spending time in the company of those people who we should spend time with, etc. But that's the troubleshooting section. But you should know with certainty that this deen is alive. It's alive. When an individual plugs in all of the wires, there are lights that turn on. There are changes that occur. There is a definite effect that it has on a human being. And 1400 years, it outlines that. You see, throughout our history, what effect the deen has had on an individual who practices it. So now the question is that if we've understood the purpose of this life, and if we've understood what we're supposed to be doing in this life, then the final section is the troubleshooting manual. To ask ourselves, well, what is it? Why is it that I continue to just remain the way I am? Why doesn't Allah give me the tawfiq to finally change, to finally make that next step, to finally become that person that I should be, to finally treat others the way they should be treated, etc.? So it's very important that we spend time reflecting on that troubleshooting aspect of our lives. Because when the lights aren't turning on, it tells you something's wrong. Right? That's how you know that the product is broken, when you plug it in and the lights aren't turning on the way they should. Or it's not doing what it normally should. So in the same way, when we see that we're actually walking along this path and it's not doing what it should, then we need to ask ourselves the question, are we actually doing what we should be doing? Is everything okay? Are all the wires inside connected the way they should be? And that's part of this gathering as well. Now, the benefit is that as we begin to sit with one another and we begin to see changes occur within one another, then we begin to see that the product is fine. There's no problem with the deen. The deen is perfect. The problem is with the people who practice the deen. The problem is with the people who try to apply the deen. That's where the deficiency is. In this day and age, a person who practices Islam, the way it's supposed to be practiced, and with the sincerity with which it's supposed to be practiced, will have the same effect that anybody in the past has had. Because the product is the same. The connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same. So this is a sincerity that's required of us. To sit down and say, am I living the way I should? Have I achieved what I should? Am I connected with the life of this world? Or am I connected with the life of the hereafter? And those things will slowly become realities, but only each individual can only answer that for themselves. It's sort of like the way you think about it is like the washing machine. Right? There are people whose lives are spent repairing washing machines. They are masters of washing machines. They know the washing machine inside out. But there's no way they know it's broken until they get a phone call. The one thing they won't know is if it's broken, right? I can have a broken washing machine in my house. No one will know. The repair person does not know until the phone is picked up. And then I say, I need you to come. Can I schedule an appointment? There's a problem with the machine. When the phone is picked up, then that person can come and actually do something. Otherwise, the repairman won't be able to make any change. So it requires the sincerity of that individual in the home to say, okay, this machine is broken. I need to take that much effort that I pick up the phone and call the repair person. Right? And so that is exactly the responsibility that falls upon each and every one of us. That we begin to reflect on where we are, that we begin to reflect on how we live our lives, that we begin to reflect on the changes that need to be made, and if there's a problem, we pick up the phone and begin to look for help. Right? That's the only way the problems will come out. The washing machine repairman does not knock on everyone's door and ask how their machine is doing. The person has to take that much initiative that they have to pick up the phone and call. So in the same way, that's the responsibility of the salik. The person who's walking along this path, the person who's seeking the effects of this path, The person who's hoping to gain the results of this path, which is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's their responsibility to pick up the phone, to stay in touch, to say, look, this is a problem, I need help with it. I'm trying to work on this, can you help me solve it? Some people say that I have this bad characteristic within me, can you tell me, do you see this characteristic, how can I improve it? But that's the only way. No one else is going to be able to read it. It requires that, at least that much self-initiation. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to be among those who appreciate the reality of this life, the permanence of the hereafter, the method of succeeding in this life, and to be among those who appreciate the need to troubleshoot when we see that everything isn't going the way it should. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.